Thank you, John, for that reading. I admire your voice. So I just, you know, I was talking to somebody. And in fact, last night, one of my older friends, right? And I said, I always remember now about that song, that phrase in the song, the new song. It says, "I know when I have older grown, my voice will not be strong," or something to that effect. I feel that now, but I admire that strong young voice. Appreciate that, John. The topic that we've chosen tonight is not a new one to us, and frankly, I would think in some ways for us as Christians, it seems rather elementary, and yet to a lot of people, they have a mistaken understanding about the matter of eternal life, about what it is, when it is, and some particular things we'll look at. And so I'd like for us to just refresh our minds from the Scriptures on it, and maybe remind ourselves of some things that we haven't thought about in a while concerning the eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give life to sinners. Now that he, in John the first chapter in verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He came for every one of us. He came to bring life. Now, the life he came to bring was obviously not physical life. People were living on the earth when Jesus came. So the life that he brought was something more than fleshly life. In John the fourth chapter, verses 13 and 14, with the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So now again, he speaks of a life, but it's not the life that results from drinking water from a well. We need water to sustain our life here on the earth. If we don't have water, we will die. And yet Jesus says, "I have a water that I will give that will quench a thirst forevermore, and that it will bring everlasting life." So again, the idea of life that he talks about is something beyond a physical life here on earth. In John 10 and verse 10, he would later say, "I came that they may have, that they might have life, and that they may have it abundantly." I came that they may have life. Again, talking about his sheep, but that they would have abundant life. In chapter 14, in verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." So time and time again, Jesus picked up this concept of life and with it explains and talks about a life that is more than what we have now. Of course, what we understand him to be talking about is everlasting life, eternal life. And in our reading this evening, there in 1 John 5, I have the first 13 verses there. That probably ought to be 9 through 13, like our reading. The point is that is made repeatedly of eternal life. Actually, that should be John 5, 11 through 13. So let's start at verse 11. Because in verse 11, God's gift is life. It says, "This is a testimony, God has given us eternal life." So the first thing is, God's given a gift. God has given us eternal life. Now, secondly, he says that life is in his Son. So God's given a gift. The gift is identified for us. And the gift is obtained in his Son, by or through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in fact, he goes on to say, we don't have that life unless we have the Son. Verse 12, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." So again, he's speaking of a life beyond the here and now. He's talking about a life that is eternal. And he goes on in verse 13 to make the point that we know that we have eternal life. He says, I've written these things so that you, to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Those of you who have put your faith in the presence and power and authority of the Son of God to give you life, who is the life of the world and brings life to the world. I've written these things to you, Christians, that you may know that you have eternal life. So he's speaking of an assurance that we have, and also the encouragement then that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And that's going to be important as we think about this tonight, about eternal life now and in the future. You don't have life unless you have the Son. The life is in the Son. The life is a gift from God that He gives us. And the gift is eternal life. So, when do we have eternal life? When do we have life? Do we have it now? Do we have it only in the future? Do we have it both? What does He mean by that passage? And can we lose it? If we have it, and this verse says, I want you to know that you have it. So there's a now, there's a present context. But if you have it, can you lose it? And if you think you lost it, did you ever have it? You see things that and if you lose it, can it be recovered? How is eternal life made secure? You see, the charge is often made that, well, if you think you can lose eternal life, then you can never be sure of your salvation. You can never be sure you have it. But John said, I've written these things so that you may know. You may have confidence. You may have boldness. You may have clarity and certainty that you have life that's in the Son and will continue to believe in Him. So I started by saying these may be things that we think are rather simple or things that we take for granted, but these these views and some views about eternal life we're going to see in the religious world commonly are not the ones expressed in the Word of God. And we want to be sure that we have the right view of it, the right understanding of it, so that we have that life, that we have it now, and we're going to see something about the future. You see, we've already read it. We have been given life. God has given us eternal life. Verse 11. Well, now, are you in eternity yet? I mean, what does that mean? He has given us life. I mean, I'm not in heaven yet. I don't have an immortal body yet. I don't have a resurrected body. And so what does that mean? Well, we have the possession of eternal life in the Son, but it's not fully realized. It's not fully realized because it's realized in heaven. Best way I can illustrate it is somebody gives you a gift, and it's wrapped up with a pretty bow, and that gift is yours. And of course, Christmas time's coming, so you kids, you're going to get hopefully some presents if you've been nice and not naughty. And wrap it up in a bow and put it under the tree, perhaps. Or at a birthday, you get a gift. Well, it's yours. It's freely given to you. It's got your name on that. To Susie from Mom and Dad. But while you possess it, do you really know what's inside it until you open it? Well, no. You might have an idea of it. You might have some thoughts about that, but you don't really know until you open it, do you? So hopefully that can begin to illustrate the point I'm trying to make from Scripture, is that God has given us life. He's given us eternal life. In fact, chapter 2 and 25 says this is a promise that He's promised unto us, eternal life. It's our possession. We can know that we have it, but we haven't realized it in heaven yet. We haven't experienced the glory, and majesty, and eternal blessings of that eternal kingdom yet. Now, if we can grasp that and understand that, I think that'll help us a long way in understanding how now we have eternal life. It's real in our lives, but we've not yet fully experienced it. There's still much ahead of us that is yet to be realized. fact receiving this eternal life, possessing this eternal life, and remaining and retaining this gift of eternal life is conditional. Look at verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now there's a condition. You got to have the Son to have life. Whatever that means, you got to have the Son, because if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Now, the question is, do you have the Son? What does that mean to have the Son? Because we've got to meet that condition to have the life. God's promised life. He gives us life. It's in the Son, but I got to have the Son, because that's by Him and through Him that life is made available and obtained. So let's go to John 6th chapter and see the condition explained a little bit there. Jesus there takes some time to say, well, if you're going to have life, you're going to have to partake of me. In fact, he said, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And some of them said, man, we don't understand that at all. Are you advancing cannibalism? What are you talking about? Well, let's read it and understand what Jesus meant. In John 6, 53, actually verse 51, he said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. In verse 51, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? But Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You don't have life. Now we're talking about eternal life. God has given us life, and that life is in the Son. Jesus said, you've got to eat my flesh, drink my blood, or you have no life. Whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He continues, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now we're learning a little bit more. When he says, you got to partake of my flesh, my blood, that's about abiding in me, and I in you. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. So, we got to feed on Christ. When he says, eat my flesh, drink my blood, he says, you got to, that's the same as feeding on me. Now, he said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. You've got to partake of me. You've got to abide in me, verse 56 said. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. The manna fed the flesh. Jesus feeds the soul. See? He feeds our soul. He who eats this bread will live forever. So, beginning to learn now, if I want to have eternal life, I've got to feed off of Jesus so that my soul is fed. My soul is satisfied. Now, how do I do that? Go a little bit farther. In verse 63, he said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So the words of Jesus is what we need to partake of, to feed upon. As He is the living bread and brings life to the world, we must have the Son. We must feed on Him, partake of Him, let His Word abide in us. In other words, we've got to believe what He says and do what He says. And that's what John tells us in his first epistle over and over again. John talks about how we abide in the Son, and the Son abides in us as the Word abides in us. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, 24 through 26 to see his point. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Now, Jesus said, you got to abide in me and I got to abide in you. Now he says, let that abide in you that you heard. There's words from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, and you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Okay, he talked about abiding in Jesus. Jesus said, you got to abide in me. John 6, 53. Now John says, he explains, he says, well, you do that is to let His Word abide in you. Let the gospel abide in you, and you'll abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that He's promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So, you know, there's a lot of people who try to deceive us still, that eternal life can abide in a person even though they're not abiding in His Word. But this verse says we've got to let the Word abide in us for Jesus, for us to be abiding in Jesus, to have life, to partake of Him. That's how we partake of Jesus. Eat His flesh and drink His blood. John 6 is not talking about the Lord's Supper. It's talking about partaking of Christ, letting Him feed our soul as we receive His Word and live His Word. John said again in chapter 2, as we walk in truth, we have the Son. Now remember, having the Son is the condition to have life. Life is in the Son, and if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. If you have the Son, you have life. 1 John 2:3 says, by this we know that we know Him. This is how we know that we know Jesus, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as he walked. How do we know we're in Him? How do we know we have Him? How do we know that we have eternal life? By walking in His truth. He said, by keeping His commandments. Because it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and are life. You see, receiving and possessing eternal life is conditioned upon us receiving the Word of Jesus and walking in that Word, keeping that Word, believing and obeying what Jesus says. There's some more conditional statements about this that John gives us in John 5 in verse 24. Look at the condition there. It all speaks to the same basic point. But look how Jesus said it in John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death into life. So here is his receiving spiritual life. He says you have everlasting life if you'll hear my word and believe the Father. Okay? Well, if we hear his word, that's not just listening to the words, it's receiving them. It's partaking of them. It's letting them abide in us and we following them, keeping the commandments as we read in 1 John 2. A lot of people don't believe that's how you receive eternal life. They just think if you believe, you have everlasting life. But you see, he said, we've got to receive his word and trust the Father. Look at chapter 6:47. Again, Jesus said, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And that's where he starts the discussion that I'm the bread of life. So the condition of hearing and believing in the Father and believing in the Son. And John explains very well that believing in the Son means we obey the Son. In John 3 and verse 36, John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, faith. And this is the most general statement and concept of faith. Faith, you know, faith in God is more than just believing that He is. He's also a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Faith, to be saving faith, does the work of God. James 2. Faith without works is dead. It's barren, it's fruitless, it's demonic. It will not justify. Faith plus obedience brings God's blessing. Well, now look at in John 3:36 as we continue in that statement. He said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The word does not believe, some of your translations will say he who does not obey. And really that's what the word means here. Does not obey. You see, if you believe you have life, but if you don't obey, you're under wrath. God's wrath is upon us. In Romans, this word is used in Romans 2 and verse 8. If there's any, you know, some will want to quibble and say, oh, belief is not about obedience. But this verse, John 3:36 says, oh, yes, it is. Belief is about obeying. And if I don't obey, if I'm disobedient, I don't believe. And I don't have life, I have wrath. It's the word used in Romans 2 and 8 that says those who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there'll be indignation and wrath. If I do not obey the truth, if I do not obey the word Jesus spoke, trust it and believe and obey it, I don't have life, I have wrath. I'm under wrath. So that's clearly a condition. The condition of obeying the word of God to have life. Hear and follow Him. In John 10, 27 through 30, Jesus said that in that same text about He being the good shepherd and the sheep, He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me and I give them eternal life. Again, we're talking about a present reality. I give them eternal life. Why? Because they hear my voice and they follow me. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, nor shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father is greater than me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So the condition of hearing His voice and following Him brings us, gives us life and keeps us in the Father's hand, keeps us secure in that life. Conditions. So eternal life is in the Son. We had to have the Son if we're going to have life. And the way we have the Son is to abide in His Word, to let His Word abide in us, to receive it and to obey it. And if we don't meet those conditions, we're under wrath because of our sin. God's wrath is on us, so we need to hear and follow Jesus to have eternal life. Now, we look at the other side of the coin, and we say, well, yeah, we understand that, Joe. I know we do. That's the distinction that is often that's the problem in saying faith only saves. No, faith that saves is a faith that's obedient, and we have eternal life. But Scripture also says we have eternal life as our hope. So that, you know, a hope is a desire and expectation of something we've not yet seen. That which is seen is not hope, Romans 8:24. So there's an aspect of future here when it comes to eternal life that God has given us in the Son. Let's go to Titus, the third chapter, and verse 7. The Word of God says that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. God promised that, chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His Word through preaching. So the Word that is preached brings the fulfillment of the eternal life, the promise of eternal life to fruition, and we hope for that. God promised it. 1 John 2:25, we mentioned earlier, God's promised eternal life. So there's an aspect of the future of it, an expectation that has not yet been realized. So we receive the gift, and there are a lot of blessings to having it now, but there's something still in the future. In fact, Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, if we sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit we'll reap eternal life. So we've got to do something now to reap eternal life. We've got to sow to the Spirit. If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. So if we're following the Son, if we're believing Him, following Him, obeying Him, we're secure in spiritual life. We're secure in the gift that God has given us of eternal life in the Son. And our expectation now is to one day in eternity, in an eternal day, to fully realize all of those great blessings. The fullness of life is in the age to come. Look, Jesus taught this in Mark 10. And you say, well, that seemed pretty clear. We don't have all those things yet. I know it seems pretty clear, but if we're not willing to accept the conditions, then we can be deceived in thinking we have eternal life and we don't. A lot of people have been deceived. They think they have eternal life, but they don't really have the Son. And that's what we must be careful of. So go back to Mark 10 with me in this respect and see what Jesus said about the age to come. Mark 10, 29 and 30, Peter said, "See, we've left all and followed you." And Jesus answered and said, "Surely, assuredly I say to you, there's no one that's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." So he says, John says, we have, God's given us life, but Jesus said in the age to come, you'll have eternal life. In the present life, you have many spiritual blessings. You are blessed with the family of God, with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. But see, there's something more. There's more. There's a crown of righteousness. There's an eternal glory that's not been fully realized that we'll have one day. In fact, go back to 1 Peter 1. We overlooked that a minute ago. See how Peter makes this point concerning this and our hope. He said, you know, we have a living hope, don't we? You know, Peter uses that in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. We have an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, and doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now here's the keeping. Here's the meeting of the condition. We live by faith. We're kept by God's power. We're in God's hand. We won't be snatched away if we hear the voice of Jesus and follow Him. We're being kept through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So there's a salvation we have now from our past sin. There's a security we have as we live through faith of an inheritance in heaven. And one day it's going to be revealed in the last time, in the last day. Drop on down to verses 8 and 9. He says, "Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So there's something yet out there. The end, the purpose of our faith is the salvation of our souls, the eternal inheritance. So it's now and it's in the future. It's fully realized after the judgment. The judgment seat of Matthew 25 and 46, these will go off into eternal punishment and the righteous unto eternal life or everlasting life. So we enter it then. Now it's fully realized. So now we seek for that life. We seek for that glory and immortality. We hear the word of Jesus and we follow Him. Romans 2 puts it in this idea that there's going to be a judgment. That God's going to render to each one according to his works eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. So God's going to render eternal life to us. So what's the harmony? He's given it to us and He's going to render it to us. He's given it and He's going to give it. Well, He's given it to us in His Son. We're partaking of its blessings now, and its full realization will be in the day of judgment when He gives us eternal life. Because what? Because we've been seeking and doing good. Doing good, we've been seeking glory and honor and immortality. We've been seeking that eternal life. Maybe that's the question we need to pose ourselves in tonight. Am I seeking eternal life? He says, when we seek it by doing good, we will receive it when He judges us in the last day. Because He's promised it to us. Because we're hearing the Word of Jesus and we're following the Word of Jesus. And that's our confidence. That's our desire and expectation. That's our hope. It's going to be fully realized in the end. Eternal life. In Romans 6, He'll go on to say, 22 and 23, Romans 6, 22. But now, watch this point, but now, having been set free from sin, because we've been baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, verses 3 and 4. Now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end the point aimed at everlasting life. So you've been set from sin, free from sin. Your past sins have been forgiven. You're released from that bondage. Now you're the slave of God. Not slave to sin, a slave to God. Serving His will. And the result of that, the end point, he says, well, all that's aiming toward is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In that context, he talks about the everlasting life, the eternal life, not merely being something obtained now, but something really that's the end point of our faith. The end point. The result of it. And therefore, while we have it now, but there's what we're living for in the future, it's also understandable that we can forfeit it. If we return to sin, if we stop hearing the Son, abiding in the Son, following the Son, if I stop having the Son in my life, I don't have life. There's no hope for that. There's no expectation of that. In Hebrews 6, verses 4 and 5, 4, 5 and 6, look at that verse with me. Hebrews 6 and 4. He says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come. Now, let's pause right there. This is what we have in Christ now. We taste the good Word of God. We have been enlightened. We have tasted the heavenly gift of eternity. We have a living hope. We have an assured expectation of glory because we're believing on the Son. We have the Son. We're hearing and doing the will of the Son. But he says, if somebody like that, if they fall away, he says, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put into an open shame. The impossibility comes as one continues to live in sin away from God. You know, we can fall from the life into death. We can fall from life into death. And so we are warned to keep ourselves in God's love. In Jude 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. The word keep means to preserve yourselves. We have something to do about whether or not we're going to continue in life unto eternal life, or if we're going to turn back to death and ultimately eternal death. He says, keep yourself. Preserve. How are you going to keep yourself? You keep listening to the Word of Jesus. You keep following the Word of Jesus. You keep having the Son. We abide in Him. We partake of His flesh and blood. He's the bread of life. We let Him nourish and sustain our souls. We live by faith, doing His will. Keep yourselves building up, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Well, verse 1, though, if you'll compare verse 1 of Jude, it says, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. The same word as verse 21 when he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of your Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself there. Preserve yourself there unto eternal life. But verse 1 says, we're preserved in Jesus. And there you have it. We're to keep ourselves in Jesus. That's where preservation is. That's where the expectation is. That's where the assurance is. That's where we know that we have life. Because it's in the Son. And as we hear and follow Jesus, then we're sure to that life. But now, is Hebrews 6 telling us that when a Christian falls away, they just can never return to God? That's not his point. That's not his point. Because we clearly see at times and occasions in the Scriptures when Christians fell away and they returned to life through repentance, through prayerful confession. Simon was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. He had become a Christian. He had been in bondage to sin, but he believed and was baptized, and he was freed from the bondage of sin. But then he fell back into sin. Peter said, now I see right now you're in the bond of iniquity. You're again a slave of sin. Your heart's not right with God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray the Lord that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So of course, the one who falls away can return to life, can return to hearing the Son and following the Son. And that's what 1 John 1 tells us. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we practice truth, that's verse 6, that's walking in the light, verse 7, and we have the benefit of the blood of Jesus. But that benefit of the blood is, if we sin, we confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the fact that we have eternal life doesn't mean that we don't have to worry about sin in our life. We don't have to worry about what happens because I've got it now, and I'll always have it. No, I've got to walk in the light of truth, hear and follow Jesus, partake of His flesh, of His blood. That is, let His Word come into our hearts, define and direct our lives, obeying Him in faith. That's how we have the Son. That's how we have life. This is eternal life, to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at John 17 as we close these thoughts. This is eternal life. This is what Jesus said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As you have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as you have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Here's eternal life: knowing the Father, knowing the Son. How do we know them? Well, we already read that in 1 John 2. Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. 1 John 2, 3. Do we know Him? Do you know Him tonight? You know God if you keep His commandments. You don't know God if you're not keeping His commandments. And if you don't know God, if you don't know His Son, you don't have life, because life's in the Son. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. You're still in the death of sin. The gospel says, come out of that death. It calls us to life. Life that is a present life with every spiritual blessing and with the future hope of eternal glory, an eternal reward of life unending in the presence of God forevermore. Start that now. Become a Christian tonight and receive life from the death that sin has produced in your life. It separated you from God. Sin, left to itself, alienates us from God, separates us from life. We are in death. We're dead people walking. Dead spiritually. Unless and until we partake of the Son. We have the faith to take His Word and to live it in our lives, to confess Him to be the Son of God, to repent of our sins and to be baptized, because these are His words that He has commanded us. And if we'll keep His commandments, then we know that we know Him. And you can do that tonight. You can be saved in Jesus Christ if you'll respond to His gospel call. And if there's sin in our lives as Christians, let's remember we must confess that, repent of that, to truly have life. Because we cannot walk in darkness and have life in the Son. And so let's repent of sin if it's in our life. Let's come back to the life that the Son of God gives. If we can help you do that and respond to the gospel call, we urge you to come while we stand, while we sing.